Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Rory O'Connor has come a long way, not just this morning. Good morning, Rory. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, Rory. You're an interesting character. You were involved in, I suppose, music promotion at a very young age, and it's something that never really left you, even though you went off and did other things. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, that's right, Bobby. In fact, I was promoting before I was ever even at a teenage hop. The first one I ever went to, my mother, who was involved in rehab, she got me involved. So through the teenage years, and then when I left school doing stuff for football teams and kind of that, and then in college event promotion, which is kind of the traditional way into promotion. And we ran a folk club, myself and Philip Flynn. We conceived the idea of Ballisodare Folk Festival. Philip went full time and hard at it and made a fantastic
job. And I told you before we came on air that I was at that festival, and I don't know if it was 1977 or 78, but do you know what I do remember? The admission was £3.77
for the full weekend,
and it was £5 a year later. That's so true. There was some inflation.
the acts were bigger if you look at them, you know. And that's with the music business, you know. It's you have to have your pricing has to be flexible, you know.
Yeah,
and I don't mean dynamic pricing. I don't but ordinarily, you know. So getting back to what I did is, we ran gigs right through the 70s and 80s in Sligo. And then I kind of got involved with the arts festival there and worked with them for a few years. All while I was working at a real day job. And then I got involved with the model, and I was chairman of the team that developed the model as a huge arts centre, you know?
Yeah.
And, Then when I left the business I was in my 50s, and then went back into, I had a choice basically. Do I continue in the medical device business, or do I go to something that I've always kind of tipped in and out of?
Yeah, and this is one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Like, keeping the two things going parallel, you had a busy job at Abbott. You were part of a senior management group there. So, you know, in terms of the commitment that you were able to make to the arts, let's call it,
yeah,
that must have always been a tricky balance.
It was like having 2.5 jobs, you know, because working in Abbott, as you know yourself, working in a busy, busy multinational, you're kind of expected to work whatever hours, and I did work whatever hours were needed. And then you'd kind of get off, and, you know, even we used to have lunch hours those days, actually, because I lived nearby, and you'd be working through that and so on. But it was a total change, and it was so light and breezy compared to the sort of seriousness of the medical device industry.
And can I ask you then, your exit from the medical device industry, you were involved in an engineering management buyout. Did that allow you basically fund your artistic endeavours? In other words, did you get a big check that you were able to go off and do all these music promotion events?
Pretty much hit the nail on the head. Not that I could do these promotions with it, but it just gave me a cushion that I could live
on. So it made the decision to...
I wasn't dependent on the music industry. Wisely, I wasn't dependent on the music industry for a living, you know. I've just read Pat Egan's biography.
Yeah.
It's interesting over the years what happens.
But to go back to that kind of event management, Rory, the sort of skills that you need, and it's a risky, like putting on festivals is risky. You've got all sorts of dynamics at play, the weather, God knows what else. So, and you've got this act and this day, maybe this period of time where everything has to come together. Is it the adrenaline buzz of putting on an event that sort of, or do you just love the creative piece of the music and all that?
Yeah, well, it's not really an adrenaline route, because when you're at it for a long time, you kind of know it's a project management job.
Right.
But what you do get is you get that quiet satisfaction of seeing, you know, a couple of thousand people sitting there having a great time. And that gives you a tremendous sort of feeling of satisfaction and of achievement, I suppose.
Yeah.
Rather than it being the whole coming up to it being an adrenaline. You have to have a bit of adrenaline to keep going, you know.
Of course you do.
But what one thing that we learned, and you touched on it there, we're based in the west of Ireland, and personally, I think that anybody who puts on an outdoor festival in the west of Ireland is out of their minds. First of all, you need sort of, in order to pay for the infrastructure, and we learned this the hard way. We did it, you know, and we got the most glorious, glorious June week, bank holiday weekend of the year. This is the first Sligo Live. And we tanked. You know, we needed 4,000 people to break even. We got about maybe 1,600. Wonderful festival. Everybody had a great time. Sinead O'Connor, the Proclaimers, you know, all sorts of people. Kate Rusby and so on. And we lost 50,000.
And when an event like that happens, again, how do you pick yourself up if you're 50 grand down?
Well,
people have to be paid to go on and do it again.
We got a big dose of realism. We realised very quickly on, and we got some very good advice actually from Tommy Higgins. I know you've had Tommy on here, and we'd be friendly with Tommy, you know, all our lives. And Tommy said, you know, you're putting an awful lot of money into the ground here. And we had intended to continue with an outdoor festival, and we brought it indoors. So we use existing venues, you know, and we've been very lucky to partner, not initially, but from 2011, we've partnered with the ATU, as it is now, it used to be the ITU, at the Atlantic Technological University. And they have a wonderful space in the Knocknarea Arena.
Yeah, which takes a little bit of risk out of the
huge
event.
Huge amount of risk into it. So it's not quite ready-made, but it's almost ready-made.
Yeah.
Same thing, we use the Hawkswell, which is ready-made. Sometimes we use the model, and then we use an awful lot of other venues, pubs, libraries, cafes, bus stations, everything.
And in your view, Rory, does a festival or an event such as Sligo, do they have a shelf life? In other words, you know, we look at the great events of Féile, Listunvarna. You go, they all last 2 or 3 years, and then something else comes along, or, you know, and you're also, people are getting older that came to your event. And how do you get new people to come? Those kind of challenges. Yeah.
Well, first of all, we move with them.
Yeah.
What I'd say is, as far as them having a shelf life, we've been going for 20 years. Next year will be 20 years. So we're 19 years on
the great event and great.
Other than the one where we lost the 50,000 quid. And made it up next year, by the way. We took no money for the festival, and we just basically made up all the money that we owed the bank. And everybody got paid, and everybody got paid on time. And, you know, that's probably the best thing we ever did, because we go to agents all over the place who normally look for you know, full payment, even with the order, you know, with the agreement.
So is it money up front?
The way we would work it is we would pay 50% with the big acts, 50% a month beforehand and 50% after.
On the day?
Well, no, it's too awkward to do it on the day.
You're too busy on the day, it's
bank transfers now. You don't have to go around counting the euros, you know. But first 5 days after the festival, you know.
Right.
5 business days after the festival.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy with that. And we stick rigidly to those terms.
And is that a kind of an industry norm?
We're lucky in that we have a good credit rating.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, attracting the big names. I see this year, Dermot Kennedy, Paul Brady, Des Bishop, Crash Test Dummies. Like, this is, like, these are big names.
Yeah. And you might notice that while there are people who are young and very much in the ascendant part of their career, there are some who had made it to legendary status, you know. And so you asked me about the sort of age groups and so on. So we try to cover a spectrum of age groups. And then a lot of if you look at some of the smaller acts, which are on the other side of that leaflet, we have a whole trail of free gigs. So we have about maybe 20-odd free gigs, and we have a team who work on that. And they're all emerging artists that's sponsored by IMRO. And it's like
that also brings a new energy to the thing,
exactly,
doesn't it?
Exactly, and it just brings people into town and keeps them in the streets of the town during the day, you know. So the retailers are making money, you know, the butchers are making money, and everybody's making a few bob.
And finally, can I ask you, Rory, what's the value of an event like this to Sligo? What sort of, when you look at the economics of it?
All I can do is really throw out figures, you know, but I would say at a minimum, it's worth 3 to 4 million.
Yeah.
And it costs maybe, you know, about a fraction of that. You know, it's just,
Okay.
The high hundreds of thousands.
Well, look, you're a very interesting chap. Rory O'Connor from Sligo Live. Thanks for coming up all the way to chat to us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.